So if you're going to tell a great story sometime, especially if you're going to do it like a movie or something like that or a play, you want to include a character like this. Does anyone recognize this character? If you say, shout out the name if you know. There it is. We got some Grima Wormtongue. Grima Wormtongue, he's a liar. He is a manipulator. And I think one of the reasons why if you include a character like this in a story, one of the reasons it draws people in is because we know people like this or we've seen people like this in action. And the people that we've seen in real life, we realize they're really toxic. The kind of people that when they appear on the scene, you know that the storyline is going to be taking a twist because people are going to start to believe their lies when you see folks like that on the screen. You know there's going to be all those unhealthy little side conversations. You're going to see people turning against each other. So this Wormtongue, he is a character in the Lord of the Rings franchise, and he's introduced in the movies as an advisor. As an advisor to the king, King Theoden of Rohan. But he's not really a good advisor. He's working for an evil wizard instead. And these lies that he's telling, that he's whispering in this king's ear, they don't just affect the king. They end up affecting the whole kingdom. So ultimately, when Theoden gets delivered from Grima's poisonous influence, he's furious and he casts this guy out of the kingdom. But now he's got to get to work. Because things are really, really a mess. The first challenge before King Theoden, he's like, I got to get my people to safety. Because we're in a pretty exposed situation. These enemies are coming our way. So I know what we're going to do. We're going to lead our people to this mighty fortress called Helm's Deep. So he's got his people and he's taking them there. And the journey's not an easy one. They just get part of the way there. And all of a sudden they get attacked by these flesh-eating orcs. They're riding these like giant pit bull werewolves, and they get attacked by these things. They defeat them. They get to this fortress that they think is going to be so great, and it's all run down. So now they're putting together this challenge, the rundown fortress, doing the best they can to prepare, and then they find out this army that's coming at them. It doesn't matter if the fortress is really big because this is a massive army. So they think, what are we going to do? And then just when it looks like, you know, all hope is lost, mighty elves arrive. So they're like, woohoo, we got the mighty elves, and the mighty elves are doing a great job until they get blown up. So now you got the blown up elves. So again, it looks like all hope is lost until Gandalf comes riding down. He rallied these exiled riders of Rohan that got exiled when Theoden was under Grima Wormtongue's spell. So they come down together. They end up defeating these enemies. And just when you're like, huh, Gandalf looks into the camera and goes something about, well, now the battle of Helm's Deep is over and the war for Middle Earth has begun. And Theoden's got to be going, come on, can I get a break? For King Theoden, faithfulness involved one challenge after another. And so now there's another kingdom in trouble. So he rides with these riders of Rohan. They come to crest this ridge to this other kingdom that's in trouble. They look down. And it's bad news. There is this massive army. And it's not just people and those orcs. It's trolls. It's all these things. So then they charge into this battle. And it looks like we might actually win this thing. This against all these odds, we might win this thing. And then this horn sounds in the distance. And they do such a good job because you see Theoden's face like, are you even kidding me? Because he looks off in the distance and he sees on the horizon these ginormous elephants that are like two stories tall. They got thorns and all these things all over them. They have archers mounted to the top of these massive elephants that can shoot down in an elevated position. So he looks in the camera like, I can't even believe this. So he's like, okay, on me, let's go. We're going to head up for a charge. And just as he's about to charge the elephants, he looks off, hears another noise, and here comes a armored witch king who can't be killed by a man riding a dragon. And the look on his face is a look I know really, really well when he's like, what even do I do? Are you kidding me? for King Theoden, man, it was just one challenge after another. And maybe not to that extreme, but do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you just get done with one thing and then something else? And they come at you, and they come at you, and they come at you. And often this happens, you're trying to do good. You're trying to just, I'm trying to be a faithful person. I'm trying to do right. One thing after another, after another, after another. And sometimes you might begin to wonder, is it even worth it? Maybe life under Grima's lies wasn't so bad because I can just hide off in this world of make-believe or denial or whatever instead of just beating my head against these things over and over again. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. A broken world will give you countless reasons to say no to your next yes. Can I get an amen to that? There's always going to be a reason to give up. There always will be. It is hard to live a life of faithfulness in a broken world, especially when there's all the Grimas out there going, yeah, give up. Yeah, it's not worth it. You know, or they do that, those mocking tones or the scoffing, all that kind of stuff. It can cause even the most faithful to wonder, is it worth it? And here's the reality. If you set out to be an authentic follower of the way of Jesus, there is a long and challenging road ahead. There really is. And when the Grimas of this world whisper in your ear, is saying, yes, really worth it, how do you know it's not all in vain? Well, sometimes it's helpful to remind yourself. All right, I'm just going to remind myself of what's at stake here and what's on the line. The late, great C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book about the afterlife. It's called The Great Divorce. Here's a summary of something that he invited his readers to consider. Here's how someone else summed it up. Writing about hell, C.S. Lewis claimed that we're all on a trajectory, either to life or to death. And he says the further we follow that trajectory, the more pronounced its effect on us becomes. The point that they're making here is eternity is just a continuation of the direction we're going. We're becoming either more, I want to follow you, God, and I want to become more like you, or we're more, I'm going my own way. It's just a continuation. In the storyline that we're talking about earlier, when King Theoden was listening to the voice of Grima, it had him on one trajectory. And just the way they capture that in the film, just his whole body, his everything, he was becoming more and more just this just really bad place. And it might have felt easier. That other path was hard, that one we just described. But he got to the end of that path. And he was, when it was time for him to cross from this life to the next, he could at least have peace that this wasn't in vain. That I was part of something bigger that really, really mattered. Which brings us to this life shape and question. I think this is worth writing down too. What voices are shaping you? What voices are shaping you? I'm working my way through this book. I've had a bunch of people recommend this lately. Practicing the Way. It's Be With Jesus, Become Like Him, Do As He Did by John Mark Comer. I've heard so many good things about this. I'm reading it. It's really, really good. Really, really good. Here's some things that this author names that I think we just intuitively know and certainly see it through our experience. Here's an example. And this is all about that whole trajectory of life. He says if we're rooted in the infinite scroll of social media, it's going to form us likely into people who are angry, anxious, arrogant, simplistic, and distracted. Consider the people you know that are the most just fixated on their devices. And tell me if that list isn't pretty accurate for a lot of those folks. Angry, especially depending on which algorithms they're on. Anxious, arrogant, simplistic, distracted. All right, let me give you another example he gives. He goes, all right, if you're rooted, if you're on the trajectory here, if you're rooted in the endless queues of streaming platforms of choice, they form us too, likely into people who are lustful, restless, bored, and never present to what is. When I stop and think of people who are endlessly watching entertainment, especially depending on what that content is, some of those words they really ring true. Lustful, restless, bored, never present to what is. All right, let me give you one more. Another trajectory. If we're rooted in the pursuit of hedonism, another drink, another toke, another hookup, to take the edge off the pain and let us find a moment's peace, that will form us as well, likely into people who are compulsive, addictive, and running from our pain and simultaneously running from our healing. You know, in contrast, when I think about people who are authentically, deeply rooted following after Jesus, not the superficial way, not the Pharisee way, the real thing, I see people who are fostering lives with greater peace, greater joy, greater self-control, a lot of these things, and higher forms of love that aren't just transforming us on the inside. They start transforming the world around us, even if you can't see it at the time. All right, so here's what I'd like us to do today. Today, I'd like to say, what can we learn from a real life example? We're going to talk about the movies here. What can we learn from a real life example of faithfulness, specifically today, faithfulness that pulls all this together? And one of the things that we're going to see in this is the importance of having other voices who are speaking in. Because we can do what we just did here. We can say, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But we also need those other voices speaking into us consistently, calling out the best in us and also encouraging us along the way. We're going to see that here. And if you're just joining us, this is all part of a broader series here, a teaching series that we're doing called Go Tell It on the Mountain. It's a series where we're looking at true stories that we find in the Bible about that first Christmas, and we're looking at actual prophecies too that are filled with good news and good news that others need to hear, hence the name. All right, let's get to work. If you have your Bible with you, please open me to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. I want to let you know too, if you don't have a Bible at home, a great place you can go right now, hit pause, go to Bible.com and download their free Bible app. It's fantastic. All right, we're looking at the book of Luke here. Luke is a top-tier historian. And one of the things that I remember reading one time from one of the scholars is they're like, what we're about to read right now very likely comes from an actual interview that Luke did with Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's a lot of folks that believe that. So let's take a look. Verses 26 through 27. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. There is a lot here. Let me just unpack a couple things. Luke says this was happening in the sixth month. In the sixth month of what? Somebody know? It was the sixth month of Mary's relative Elizabeth's pregnancy. So her relative Elizabeth had been pregnant for 6 months. File that away, because we're going to come back to that a little later with Elizabeth. All right, so an angel appears to Mary. The angel has a message. The angel's name was Gabriel. It's been about 500 years since the last confirmed Gabriel sighting. And now Gabriel shows up twice, at least twice, in 6 months. So something big is happening. And first Gabriel appears to Elizabeth's husband, and now he appears to Mary, who is betrothed, we just read, betrothed to be married. File that away too, because that's going to be important later. All right, let's see what news Gabriel has for Mary. This is now verses 28 through 30. And Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." All right, Mike, if we can leave this on the screen for just a minute, because what I want you to notice there is that word discern. Do you see that in that verse, the word discern? As I was reflecting on this passage this week, and I was also thinking about the effect that voices can have on us, good voices or bad voices, I started thinking about angels and connecting all that. The word angel in Greek, it means messenger. We think of it as just these beings, because we use that English word angel is so specific. It's a word that meant messenger. So angels are messengers, or one who's been sent. Well, how many of you guys know the Bible talks about a fallen angel? Bible talks about a fallen angel. Angel, what does the Bible say about that fallen angel? It says that fallen angel can masquerade as an angel of light. And that passage goes on to say, then don't be surprised if those who are associated with this fallen angel, if his servants is the word that he uses, they often masquerade as servants of righteousness. I was reflecting on this. I was looking at our world today. I made a note. We got to do a series on this called Test the Spirits. Okay, I'm getting some maybe even next Christmas might be an interesting time to do this. Because there's a whole lot of people, they think they're hearing from God because people are like, they're using Bible verses, you know, like that stuff. But this is not the message that's authentically the message from Scripture. How do we discern the difference? We need to take some time with that. Because a whole lot of people need that. So thanks for the affirmation. We'll get that in the queue. All right, let's get back to the right now. Today's text. Because there are faithful people. Here's why this is so important. There are faithful people. They need to hear this. As they're out there trying their best to live out this life, they need to hear there's a God who knows them by name, like he knew Mary, and he still sends messengers our way. All right, let's look at Gabriel's message for Mary, verses 31 through 33. 31 through 33. All right. And behold, says Gabriel, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hey, Mary, the angel says, I know you're not married yet. Surprise. You're going to have a baby. Your name of Jesus, and he shall reign forevermore. Right, let's continue. Verse 34 says, and Mary said to the angel, how will this be? I'm a virgin. And the answer to her very reasonable question is found in the book of the Bible that we looked at last week. Last week, we looked at some prophecies you find in the book of Isaiah, that were written hundreds of years before the events we're reading now. I saved this one for today. I didn't give it last night because I'm like, oh, we got to pair this up with what Mary's like. Mary's like, how shall this be? Can we put Isaiah 9:7 on the screen? How shall this be? Out of that same prophecy that says, for us a child is born, us a son is given, this is how it ends. How shall it be? What is it? What do we highlight there? Zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. How is it? The zeal of the Lord. God knows us by name. God sees the brokenness all around us, and he's all in. He is all in. The manger, the cross, all of it, whatever it takes, he's all in. The zeal of the Lord is going to do this. All right, let's go back to something we said earlier. Mary's not married yet. She's betrothed, which, back in that time and that place, that was a formal legal contract between families. It was stronger than engagement. This is, oh no, you will get married. You will get married. So in that time and in that place, it is hard to overstate how being a young maiden and becoming pregnant during a betrothal, that is going to shatter your dreams. Shatter them. Shatter the life you're trying to build. If the father of that child doesn't agree to marry you, you would likely be shunned by your family. You'd be pushed to the margins of society with no options for an income except to beg or to sell yourself. That's the life that Mary is potentially saying yes to. What does this announcement from Gabriel change for Mary? It changes everything. And yet, look at how this courageous young woman replies to that. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The angel departed from her. Hey, quick tip here about the whole discerning the spirits thing. We don't have time to get into all of it. But if that spirit is telling you or that person is telling you that the path to follow Jesus, that is a smooth road. That is a wide road. Jesus had some very strong words about that, didn't he? Okay, so we see here God sends Gabriel. When God sends Gabriel, who does Mary seek out? She seeks out Elizabeth. Let's go back to our text. This time we're going to go verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary arose. She went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." When Gabriel was sent by God, and if that happens to you, if you get Gabriel sent your way, go find your Elizabeth. Go find your Elizabeth. For those who know the broader context here, Elizabeth, she's more than Mary's relative. She's more than just, hey, here's someone who can understand. Elizabeth is a faithful woman who knows what it's like to go through challenging seasons. When, you know how when people say, "You got this," it sure means a lot more when they know what the "this" is like, doesn't it? Right? When they've been through the "this," all heads are going, "Yep, we get it." It means so much more. She gets it. When God sends a Gabriel, it is so good to have an Elizabeth, someone who, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they can recognize when God is at work. And they're not like, Mary, No, they recognize God is doing something here. When someone who, in their own lived experience, they understand what you're going through. And someone who is filled with joy in the Holy Spirit, who can celebrate, and you only can really celebrate this if you've been there. There is a blessing that comes with obedience that's not like other blessings. There is a blessing that comes with obedience that's not like other blessings. Mary took the brave step of saying yes. And she found in Elizabeth something that we all need. She found a voice who can remind us that God is good. And if he is in this, his purpose, his power will be behind it. He'll be with you through it. All right. Inspired by Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, this courageous young woman who's about to experience a life filled with profound questions and challenges, she bursts in a song. Bursts in a song. We dug into that song last year. So for the sake of time, let me just show you how one scholar describes it. There's so much about that song. Here's how one scholar describes it. It's the gospel before the gospel. A fierce, bright shout of triumph. 30 weeks before Bethlehem, 30 years before Calvary and Easter. It's all about God. It's all about revolution. And it's all because of Jesus. Jesus, who's only just been conceived, not yet born, but who has made Elizabeth's baby leap for joy in her womb and has made Mary giddy with excitement and hope and triumph. Consider those words. Giddy. Excited. Filled with hope. And triumph. Who wants to be on that trajectory? Right? Would you rather be on a challenging road that leads that direction? Or an easier road that leads you to anger, anxiety, boredom, superficiality, addiction? I'm going challenging. Because another path leads you further away from the one who desires to bring hope and healing. Again, you say yes to Jesus, there will be challenges ahead. Look at Mary. She says yes to an angel. And look at her life. When Jesus was still a baby, Mary was told, "A sword will pierce your soul." When Jesus is 12, she lost him 3 days. Where'd he go? Jesus is about 30. It's in the scripture. She thought, "I think he went crazy." When Jesus was crucified, where was Mary? At his feet, watching her son be crucified. But is that all that Mary experienced? It's not. She saw her son perform miracles. She saw her son inspire hope in others. She was one of the witnesses to the resurrected Jesus. And Mary is listed. Check this out in the book of Acts. She is listed among those who were praying together when the Holy Spirit came over her. Just as a young girl was poured out on her. He was now poured out at Pentecost and gave birth to the movement that changed the world. She was there for that too. So here's what I'd like us to consider as we begin to bring this teaching to a close. Even the most faithful followers, even the most faithful followers need reminders that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Can I get an amen to that? Even the most faithful followers. In Mary's case, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Little on the nose. No pun intended there. It comes right from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not what? It's not in vain. It is not in vain. The advent of the Messiah, that first Christmas, it is good news. God is with us. He gets us. And he's inviting us, join me in this work. And he doesn't call us to do it alone. He still sends the Gabriels. We pressed into that last year too. He sends the Gabriels. He also helps us to find Elizabeth's. So today I got three questions for us to reflect on here. Question number one, who's your Gabriel? Who's your Gabriel? Who challenges you with things that only God himself has the right to ask? Who is that? Who's got that role in your life? Something makes you gulp before you say, may it be to me as you have said. Who's got that role in your life? And I want to say this too, if the idea even of like this is so new to you that this is a characteristic of God, that he would ask these kind of things. We got this amazing new person on our team, Tessa. She loves having these kind of conversations. And so if you'd like to have a question or talk to somebody about a God who asks these kind of wonderful and crazy challenging things of us, reach out to Tessa. All right, question number two. Who's your Elizabeth? Who's your Elizabeth? Who can you bring that God challenged you, and they get it. And they're going to go, this is hard, I get it. I'm with you, cheering you on. You're going to find a joy in the middle of this that you're not going to find in other ways. But they're cheering us on. My experience is, at least for me, is that God often sends the Gabriels. You got to find the Elizabeths. And not only that, it takes time to foster that relationship. If you want someone to know you like that, and for you to know them, that takes time. I want to let you know too, we got a person on our team, Katie. We'd love for you to contact Katie. She's our director of connections, and she'd love to help you find where are some places where I could possibly meet these Elizabeths in my life. We'd love to help you start steps in that direction. Now, for the reality is here, to find an answer for question number one, number two, that might take time. It might take time. So don't feel like, I can't think of anything right now. It might take time. But here's this third question. I'm going to challenge you to do this now. To do this today. For those in this room, like, don't leave until you have an answer to this one. For those of you who are watching us online, don't do your next thing until you write this name down. You can do this right now. And the last question is, who's your Mary? Who's your Mary? The first two are about receiving, right? Receiving a word from a Gabriel, receiving help and support from Elizabeth. Finding your Mary, that's about who can you give an encouragement to? Who's your Mary? Who's that a person who is, they are trying to live out that faithful life, who could just use encouragement? Who is that person? And you may not know that they need it. When we went to visit Destino, I didn't see this coming. So we went to visit Destino. Some of us were there in October. And the founding pastor gets up and he starts sharing this story. And he starts talking about 2020. And he said, that was so hard. In addition to all the headwinds that were just facing churches in general, in addition to being a church that is a pioneer in bilingual ministry and feeling alone, because in Minnesota anyway, there's not many that are doing this and certainly not doing it on the scale that they are. On top of all that, a pandemic hits, which is especially challenging for a Latino church, a bilingual church, where it's so much relationship, you know? And then they're down near the epicenter of the George Floyd death and the riots. And it was affecting them in so many ways. And so Pastor Mauricio, he just starts sharing, goes, this was really hard. So hard that we began to wonder, and he, the founders, this vision that we thought was from God, is this over? And then he said, but there was one church that reached out to us. I didn't see this coming. He goes, it was Emmanuel. And then he said some very kind things about what that meant and how that kept them going. And the reason I was so surprised and caught off guard by that is from my vantage point, we didn't do that much. But isn't that often why we don't send the note? Isn't that often why we don't do the encouragement thing? Because we're like, this isn't that big of a deal. Like, complete transparency here. Every week, I've got some things that I have to do every week. And one of the things I wrote down to myself every week, I'm like, send a note. Okay? When life gets busy, guess what I don't do? And when is life busy? And why does that one get cut? It gets cut because I'm like, it's just a note, you know? But then I really got convicted because I'm like, this box, you know what it's filled with? Notes. Why do I keep them? Because they make a difference. This is such a practical thing we can do. And it might not seem like a big deal, but sometimes those notes, if you've ever been on the receiving end of a note that came just at the right time, who's your Mary? Who today could you just send a note of encouragement to? Or at least write down that name. Because maybe it is that person who week in and week out, they're caring for your kids in the kids ministry. Maybe that it's a person who has really been encouraging to you. Maybe it's a person who they are just faithfully walking out their everyday life. Who's your Mary? It could be someone at Emmanuel Children's Home. It could be someone at the Dwelling Place. It could be somebody at Arrive Ministry. It could be your mom. It could be your dad. It could be your son or daughter. It could be your brother, your sister. It could be your friend. Someone who's doing the best they can to live faithfully in a fallen world. And here's the thing, too. It might be somebody from your past. Think how encouraging that is when somebody long time ago reaches out and goes, back when I was a kid, you did X, and because of X, now Y. That's actually exactly what we're talking about. The whole idea of your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want to challenge everybody. Find your Mary. So for what it's worth, encourage you, take a look at this list that we just talked about. Man, find your Gabriels, or at least have your ear open for when those Gabriels come. Find your Elizabeths, that person that can cheer you on, and take time to let a Mary know that your labor, her labor, Lord, in the Lord or his, is not in vain. Now, here's the last thing I want to give you to. It came into my mind a couple times, and I'm like, no. But when it keeps coming to me, I've learned over the time, maybe this is for somebody. So I'm just going to say it. There's a name that's not on your list, and that's Grima Wormtongue. And here's why, for what it's worth, maybe this is for somebody. Maybe that person's on your list right now as far as like you're listening to them or you know them. One of the best gifts you could give yourself, you could give the world, is to pray for the Holy Spirit's help with this, but to respectfully challenge that Grima to say, you know what? What if you used your power of words to build others up and not tear them down? So maybe that's for some one of us as well. Well, let me pray, and then we are going to land with this song that reminds us that Jesus came into a world, and he didn't choose the easy path, did he? I mean, it started in a manger. And so what a great song to seal this time. Let me pray as we do. Lord, thank you. You could have come to earth in so many ways, but you purposely chose a manger. You chose a life of selfless service and sacrifice. Father, this Christmas time, may we be inspired once again by your example, and may we, through the power of your Holy Spirit, go on to inspire others through ours. This we pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.